Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guests are Shauna Kerperin, executive director of the Missouri Parents as Teachers Association, and Paula Benny, co-chair of the Jefferson City Area Chamber's Child Care Action Team. So, ladies, thanks for coming today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, for some time, we've been reporting that access to childcare is critical for young families today. So, from your perspectives, how dire is the need for more and better infant and toddler care in Missouri and Cole County specifically?
It's critical right now for both our community and our businesses. For us to grow and thrive, we're going to need to bring in more childcare or more quality childcare. We need to really work on the workforce around childcare so that we can open up more childcare spots within our community so that there's more availability for parents, especially in the infant care space. There's very limited infant care within our community. The numbers, the ratio is really high for the percentage of you said I could say that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the gap is high, and we have a big deficit for the number of needed infant care spots versus the number available spots. But also on the flip side, we have a lot of open classrooms without teachers, without staff in them. So yeah. It goes to the workforce piece and the early childhood workforce piece. So we need to figure out how we can solve that, how we can support those centers, because if families don't have a place to take their kiddos, then they can't go to work, and that causes the businesses to have problems and struggles. So it's an ecosystem that we need to really work on. And we also want to work on that talent attraction piece, which is Paula's piece that they really have been focusing on. And if there's not, that's one of the first things that families look at is childcare. Mm-hmm. What's the childcare look like before I move into a community? And if there's not a strong base for childcare there that they feel like their kids are going to be healthy and safe and taken care of while they go to work, then they're going to think twice about moving into a community and taking a job.
Yeah.
Community.
Yeah. So, and often it's referred to as childcare deserts, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about Cole County specifically, how do we shape up? I mean, as far as number of spaces, are there enough? Are there enough centers?
So we are not considered technically a childcare desert.
Okay.
Our numbers are just under that threshold to qualify for a childcare desert. We do have, as I said, a lot of open classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
It's a staffing issue. It really is a workforce issue right now. We have centers that closed during COVID that are wanting to reopen. They have the desire. Business owners have the desire to open these businesses, open these classrooms, or expand these classrooms. They just can't get staff, or they can't find staff. And the retention of good staff is hard. And it all is, part of it is pay, part of it is just in general education. It's a pipeline issue. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing young kids coming out of high school with a desire to go into education. So we need to do some fundamental work at the middle school level, you know, and educating them on how this is a great field to be, a great profession. Mm-hmm. And, educating them on some of the great scholarships that are out there and potential grant dollars that are out there to help pay for their college degree.
Mm-hmm.
While they work in a center. And Missouri is very fortunate to have a TEACH program, the TEACH scholarship. And so we want students to start utilizing that, because when they go through that program, that means a center will have a full-time employee while they go to school for those potentially 2 to 4 years of college, and have that sustainability for a little bit, and then they will go into the educational profession after they graduate from college. But it all is by utilizing that TEACH scholarship. So we need to figure out how do we build that pipeline or rejuvenate that pipeline at a young age with kids, and then what do we do right now with attracting people into the childcare workforce so that we again can fill those classrooms, open up those classrooms that are sitting vacant because of no staff.
Sure. So when you talk about staffing, so what are the requirements? I mean, is it just a high school education? Does it require more education beyond that for a worker?
So the state of Missouri, with their licensing, they have basic safe sleep trainings. There's clock hours that are required of individuals that are interested in going into working in an early childhood center. And so, and those are annually renewed. But those are the main requirements. So it's not, you don't have to have a master's, you don't have to have a four-year degree. It's really being able to meet the requirements of that specific center or childcare program, and then meeting the state guidelines for those clock hours, which.
So how does someone, let's say I have a, let's say I am interested in becoming a childcare worker. How do I get that training? Is it as continuing education through Lincoln, or?
A lot of that is done through the center. So a lot of times you'll apply for the position and the center will help you set up those clock hours because they're renewable each year. So it's good to, you'll go through those centers or that your employer will set up those. The United Way and our early childhood community leader work has been setting up these clock hours on a more regular basis so that centers within our community can have access to them so that they can get new employees trained quicker and up and running within their facility.
Yeah. So to me, it's one of those things where when we talk about childcare, it's not only access, it's also affordability. So if you can find childcare, you've got to have some money in that wallet. It can get quite pricey, right? What is the average cost of childcare in Cole County?
So that varies depending on center to center. It really does. So it's center-based. But one of the initiatives that we're really working on, and we're working with the legislature right now, and we're working with our local businesses and providers, is to do what's called the tri-share model or the exchange model, where businesses can partner with centers and families to maybe offset that a little bit.
Okay.
So centers could, businesses could offer it as a benefit to pay for a portion of their childcare fees.
Okay.
So the parents would still have a responsibility, but then they would get a benefit of a portion of that being paid for. And then we're working on to where potentially philanthropy or the state would pay for that matching piece. So if the business puts in $100, which is $100 a month, then the philanthropy piece or the state dollars would match that and be able to help. So that would be a great benefit and a partnership that we're hoping to continue to work on. One of the great initiatives within our community that we started about 2 years ago in conjunction with the Chamber and the Workforce Coalition is the Partners in Education. So we took, it's similar to what schools have right now with businesses, school districts have, but it's taking it into the early childhood realm. And so we're partnering local businesses with local centers and their business partners. And so they work together to either... So to support one another in different ways. Some businesses are going into contractual pieces where they're holding spots and providing some assistance to their employees to pay for those spots. Some of them are just really supporting and uplifting the centers that are running a business and maybe lending some of their HR support or some of their resources that they might have as a business to those centers. And it's been a really great partnership, and the centers value it because they haven't been looked at as a business in that light before or had partners or support systems. And so it's not a conventional way of doing things, but we are really excited for the partnership and the outcomes that are coming from that we're really looking at building that ecosystem again, you know, supporting the centers, the families, and the businesses to all make a healthier community and a safe space for our kids to grow.
So Paul, along those lines, can you give us some examples of that?
So I'm also co-chair of the Workforce Coalition, which kind of we identified childcare early on is what the barriers to our workforce. And great partnership with Shauna in that our businesses, you know, they thought this is strictly as an employee issue, it's a workforce issue, and we realized that what our childcare centers were going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a crash course and no longer looked at it as, you know, as a, it's a workforce issue, but we've got to go back and we were being educated on what our childcare centers were going through and the struggles and the trials that they were going through. And they're like, how can we help, how can we get involved and I love how Shauna has said we've got to change the you know, how we look at childcare, you know, and elevate the profession. And it's not daycare, it's childcare. And we're taking care of our most precious, and this is tomorrow's workforce. And so they're all in. And that's when, you know, we brought on the partnership and simple things. They're struggling day to day in the classroom. They can't work on the business. They're trying to, you know, so many staff per kids and might have to be in the room instead of working on the business. And so their Pi partner can just help them with simple things that took that burden off of them. And they loved it. You know, a handbook, a marketing material, whatever it was for the day. And this we're trying to help them, you know, get through that burden so that they can do what they do best. And if we can help them help our kids, they help our parents, they help parents go to work, it helps our community. So it's been a great, you know, great relationship, and it's growing. And this exchange is a model that our businesses are very interested in. If they can share and help as a benefit to their employees and take a third of that cost or whatever that, you know, comes in, you know, that's a true benefit to their employees and helps them stay at work and attracts those candidates.
I think that, you know, I just earlier had a conversation today about childcare with someone, and it was an older person who basically said, you know, childcare was never an issue when I was younger, right? And it was because mom stayed home, right? But that's not the current environment now. And so I think it struck me when that comment was made that that's part of the understanding that we all have to have, is that it is for the vibrancy of our community, we need that workforce, both genders, available.
And part of it is we're seeing those in-home daycares. You know, speaking of history, we have a lot more in-home daycares within our community, and we're not seeing that number as much anymore. Some of those long-standing in-home centers have closed or transitioned because of the need for different things from monetary reasons and so on. But, you know, so we've just had a real shift in what our childcare system looks like here in mid-Missouri. And so we really want to figure out how do we support it, how do we grow it, how do we utilize what's already here and make it quality for the children.
So, we made reference to legislative work going on. Suddenly, probably in the last couple of years, it's really elevated the topic at the state capitol, as well as in the business community. So let's talk about some of what legislation that's being proposed that might help address the problem.
So some of the pieces that are being proposed right now are part of the exchange, the TRICARE model, that would, so when the business puts in their third, the state would match, or whatever percentage the business puts in, the state would match that. And I think that would be a really great model for us to have within our community because it shows that buy-in. Parents still have responsibility and buy-in. You know, they're still putting their dollars in, but then so is the business and so is the state. So not one entity is taking a burden, but it's kind of spreading it across a little bit to make it less heavy on one group. And so we think that that is right now the best practice, the best thing that looking at our community and the work that we've already put in place and knowing that we have the business buy-in, we know the need is there. We think that that's probably the biggest piece of legislation or the biggest piece of budget change that will be impactful to our community at this time.
So how has that message resonated with the legislators? Have you, I'm assuming you've been lobbying for that.
There's been a lot of conversations being had around it, and I think it's being well received. I think everybody has a passion for childcare right now and realize it is a desperate need because it feeds so many different things. It's been a real hot topic on many levels for the past couple years, and so I think that they know that this could be a potential solution, not to everything, but in moving in the right direction. You know, it's something that can be implemented that's been successful in other states and can really be a productive piece of our community.
What other legislative efforts are under out there?
There's some other pieces around childcare, some of the rule changes around childcare guidelines that are being looked at. I think they're being very cautious as they go through this process, and that's something I really appreciate. And I think providers across the state and parents will appreciate that too, because you know, we think this sounds good, but we really need to look at the ripple effect to it. Mm-hmm. So what are the outcomes that could come from making any big changes? You know, let's really look through it. And so I think that they're evaluating any changes that they're making. They're being very thoughtful to it as what other things can it impact? Because it might seem like, oh yeah, we can add a couple more kiddos to the classroom. Then you can have, you know, more, your staff ratio would be a little bit different, but what does that really look like? Is that safe? Is that in best environment for our kids? Are they going to be in a place that they need to be, you know, to take care of those children and to make sure that everything's going well by adding more kids to a classroom? So really all the rule changes and all these different processes, I think they're just taking some time studying it, doing some evaluations, and hopefully making good choices for families and children.
So much of the discussion has been about changing the approach to childcare. In a new report from Kids Win Missouri and the Missouri Parents as Teachers Association, the authors suggested fostering collaboration between public and private groups to boost the childcare sector, as you've talked about, and the economy as a whole, increasing visibility for childcare providers and expanding access to care in areas of high demand. So let's say in the high demand area, what would that approach look like?
I think it's talking about this model here. You know, exactly this is what they're referencing, looking at how do we take that burden off of parents completely. You know, it's a big financial burden that they're absorbing to pay for childcare. And then if they have multiple kids, they're going into that decision piece. Okay, is it worth me going to work, or should we see if we can tighten up our purse strings just a little bit and stay home? One of us stays home with the kids and the other one works. So then what does that impact? That impacts our business and our community. And so, you know, it's finding a way to hopefully make it to where it's cost effective for the parents to be able to have two working parents and their kids in the safe, healthy, quality center. And then offsetting some of that with some of the business and the philanthropy dollars.
Yeah.
So I think that that's
I think that's one thing that's interesting. I mean, that as I was reading the story we did about this report, but also just talking with young families, the amount of quality childcare is staggering, right? At times it's more money than their housing costs, right? Mm-hmm. And these are people who are not at the maximum of their earning potential right then, right? They childbearing years are typically at the lower end of the economic spectrum, and yet they have those exorbitant housing and childcare costs right out of the gate. Right. So I think that's certainly staggering, mind-numbing for folks who are not in that situation. And I think that's a great point that this report is pushing.
I think that during COVID, our parents learned that one parent stayed home, watched their children, and didn't have to pay for childcare, they could survive,
you know, right.
And they learned from this that, you know, it was more financially, you know, beneficial just for one parent to stay home. Well, they're trying to return right now. They're trying to come back. And like you say, they can't, they better sign up, you know, 6 months ahead of time to find a spot.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, trying to find a spot is tough. And, you know, or even finding a spot. So going to work is a challenge for them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's a huge piece.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago, one of my staff members, when she shared with me that they were expecting, she said, I've got to find childcare. And I'm thinking, the child's not going to be born for 8 months. I mean, that was my ignorance there, right? But she was spot on. I mean, you have to, finding an opening is the first big challenge.
Yeah, and we want to be able to find a way so parents have an option, right? I mean, it's not just a challenge, but then you don't have any choices. It's really, your choices are limited. You're taking what's open.
Yeah.
And so that's a struggle for parents, because they should have that option and they should have choices in quality childcare within their community. But I think also going back to the business piece of it, if you are looking to move into a different community, you're going to look at that childcare, like we said, and then you're going to go, oh, that business has a benefit that they're giving. You know, I'm more likely to take that position.
Sure.
Because that's off, you know, that's money that's not going to be coming out of my pocket. That's going to be another incentive for me to stay with a company. That's mm-hmm. another reason for me to go and work at a company yeah. because they give that benefit. And so we're really hoping that this works for our community, and it's something that we can start piloting sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Those are definitely determining factors of, for someone who is moving. I think of also, I've heard of young families, they talk about, they may not be 100% happy with the quality of care they're at, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. finding another place to land is not necessarily easy. And so they have to, quote, settle for the care that they're getting. And so...
And in our community, across town. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. In our community, that infant care, you know, there's just not enough spots. And so the choice is even more limited. And those are, you know, your babies. This is the first time you're leaving them with somebody
oh,
else.
Yeah.
And from, you know, and that's an experience and a struggle in itself. So we want to be mindful of those parents and the things that they're going through as they're leaving their child in a trusted place. So we want to try to make sure that we're building those healthy environments so that they feel secure in where they're taking their kids.
So what would you say to young families, maybe offer them some advice as to how to get through charter these waters here of finding childcare? What are some best practices that they might
follow? You know, there's a lot of great resources out there. The state of Missouri has done a great job of setting up resources, places where you can go to learn about childcare. Centers. You can look at their background. You can explore what's available. Missouri Child Care Aware has a great website and great resources out there to explore the child care centers within your community. There's a lot of resources that they can go to kind of see, you know, do your homework, I guess is my biggest piece of advice is do your homework. Don't wait till the week before you have to go back to work to look for a place.
Right.
Start early, plan, and know if you are not feeling comfortable where your child is at, it's okay to ask questions and it's okay to look in a different direction, but really do your homework is the biggest thing.
Okay. For businesses that recognize the need and want to help, what would you say to them?
They could get involved in the Jeff City Chamber Workforce Coalition and specifically the Child Care Action Team. We're trying to match businesses with child care centers if they would like to get involved and have a match. They have one that they find that their employees, you know, have used the most. Look and see if they want to be, if that center, that provider wants to be a part of this as well.
Yeah.
We're looking for those matches.
I think just really realizing that the Jeff City community, there is such a shortage in childcare, especially infant spots, that we really need to figure out how do we support that workforce? How do we support those centers that are trying to run a business while taking care of our littles? And how do we find ways as a community to support them and to make them feel more stable in their spot as a business? And I think that we're seeing such a beautiful system of supports coming from our business partners and that's really appreciated. And it's been really neat the past 2 years to see it grow and those relationships really develop and our business community stepping up in a nice way to really help families.
The collaboration between the workforce and Shauna and, you know, the child care. I mean, she put on the kid zone at the air show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another great activities for all the kids. We're getting involved businesses with our child care and we're offering activities and events for our kids. And the air show was just phenomenal. And then you could see the kids running to it because they could see the blow up, you know,
oh, sure.
You know, the bounce houses from, you know, way over and they're all parents were having to go with them. So, but it was a great attraction and it was a good collaboration between the businesses and our child care centers. And the same thing we're doing in a couple of weeks, we're doing Redemption Junior.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Shauna is bringing the kids' zone in and setting up activities and all kinds of fun, you know.
And when she says Shauna, she means the community. She means business partners, school districts, parent education programs.
Okay.
Lots of partners are coming together to do activities for the community. And we're seeing there's not as many community activities as there were pre-COVID.
Okay.
And so we're trying to find other ways to bring the community out and have activities wholesome, where they're wholesome, fun activities with their family, and with others that have like-age children.
Okay.
You know, so it's been a great experience. But again, it's all those relationships and those partnerships, and we're seeing that that positive intent to build these things are coming from a lot of different entities, and they're really wanting to work together to support families and children in our community. It's beautiful.
So let's get some specifics. Redemption Junior, when is it? Where is it? And what will you do when you go there?
Okay. So, you know, Redemption Inside the Walls.
Yes.
Somebody came up with this idea. Hey, Paula, you know, let's do Redemption Junior. Well, okay. This is to our kiddos. Why not? So we're bringing Randall Goodgame. He is the creator of VeggieTales.
Oh, yes.
People know VeggieTales. Yeah. So we have him coming to the Special Olympics building on March 29th. It starts at 1:30, so get there early because the kids' zone, all the games and activities will be going on before, and then the show starts at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
You can get tickets at Redemption Inside the Walls, or it's $5 at the door.
Okay.
So it's going to be fun. He is high activity. He's song, dance. I mean, it's fun for everybody. It's a whole family, wholesome event.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. So, ladies, thanks for joining us
today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.